How can I keep from singing? Oh, friends, I have been the mom who didn't notice. And I have been the mom with a toddler in the subway. It is very difficult to pay attention to anything else than getting that child onto the train and off the train and off the stairs. My spouse and I have found the litmus tests of our children's joy to be singing and the contents of their pockets, sometimes clean and laundered, sometimes not. In her poem, A Rock in Our Pocket, Reverend Sojo says, when they are kids, it seems like a profession, talking to rocks and listening for their beauty, for the song that says they belong together. My children notice the delicious beauty of the rocks in their pockets. They hold on to it, storing it. And I find what I have missed, what I didn't notice, what shiny, beautiful objects I did not pay attention to, sometimes what music I didn't hear. This may not be true for all preachers, but for me, I preach about what I need to learn. What I struggle with. I come here not with answers, but with questions, with wonderings together, wondering what it is to live justice and what joy has to do with this. I love the story of the children, the child telling the mother to slow down and stop. I was listening to an episode of Fortification podcast, you may have heard it, with Caitlin Breedlove, with the Side with Love campaign. I keep forgetting I have a microphone right here. She was interviewing Susan Raffo, and Susan Raffo said, the trouble with the justice movements are the moving at the speed of thought instead of the speed of love, which is slow, the speed of children. If we moved with the speed of children, then we would be able to integrate and we would see the changes that we want to see emerging in the world happen within our own communities. These rocks that we carry in our pockets, I have objects of comfort too. I brought some. I have prayer beads. Sometimes I use them more like worry stones, rubbing help, help, help on them in nervous moments. It's more like the line of the song, no storm can shake my inmost calm while to the rock I'm clinging, clutching. We've just moved from Connecticut to Ohio, and it's been hard for my children. And I've been watching, listening for them to be singing, listening for songs. I'm still finding empty pockets because I think they are still waiting to find what could be shiny and beautiful about Ohio. While I was reflecting on this with my husband, I was reminded of another difficult time in my family life. A month before I started seminary, we had a mold disaster in our house, and we were staying in a hotel for what should have just been a couple of weeks. But we all know how construction projects go, repair projects go, and the weeks went on until I found myself beginning seminary, living in a hotel room with my spouse and our four children. My husband ruptured his patella. And I, in the meantime, our babysitter was coming to the hotel room to help with the transfers in the morning and to take care of the children. I was going to seminary. My heart was being broken open by all the new things that I was learning. And we didn't know when we were getting back into our house. And it was during this time that I learned that sometimes I can't find the shiny, beautiful object, that sometimes I don't have the bandwidth to notice. And I learned from that that joy is something that happens together. People from our neighborhood, people from our congregation brought meals to us every day, food to sustain us, to nutrition that we needed, but they also brought dessert. It was so frivolous and wonderful. And they came to pick up our children from this hotel room, to take them outside to play and to frolic and to be in places where they were still familiar. And I noticed that we had turned a corner when I started to see little objects in the laundry again, from new places that they were exploring with their friends. Sometimes these blessings of joy come in unexpected places, when we are forced not to be able to share a wisdom or to share something exciting or great news, but when we need to just receive, to be vulnerable, to expose ourselves and what we're struggling with, and to ask for help. In those moments, we get jolted out of our comfort zones. Now, we have a principle. We have our Unitarian Universalist principles of the inherent worth and dignity of each person, that we are part of an interdependent web of life. There are parts of that that are easy and parts that are complicated. There are times when we look around at what is going on with our environment and the world and feel hopeless. And I want to share these words with you. We heard mentioned earlier Adrian Marie Brown. She says, "When I feel hopeless, it usually means my attention is on things I can't touch. But when I bring my attention to the people and places I can touch, that I can shape and be shaped by, my life fills with meaning, connection, joy, and transformation." Now, acknowledging suffering, acknowledging that it's part of the interdependent web of life, is about being real, being where we are in the present moment, that suffering is part of this journey that we share together. But when we can be present with one another in our bodies and listen to our needs and understand that this community is made up of people attempting to make sense of our lives, we live in a world where we're taught not to trust, not to believe that people can be there for us. We think that joy is a reward for hard work. It's something that comes after we've completed all of our work and reached all of our goals. But I look to this picture here that Diane helped me find. I love this practice of putting a picture. This was new for me. And as I reflected on this and thought about, well, it doesn't necessarily look like all the work has been done. I don't know. But it looks like there was a ball that needed to be hurled into the air, and there was laughter that needed to be had and friends that needed to be connected to. It's a reminder to make time for joy, to devote some of our daily energy that feels so limited, to tap into another source. I invite you to take a moment and think about what practices, what things in your daily life bring you joy. Is it something that takes a lot of planning? Is it something that you do alone? Something that you share with others? I invite you to think about ease and joy, because joy makes us more resilient. When we laugh and we're playful with one another, we are able to connect with what will sustain us, with nourishment, this resilience that makes us aware and in tune and able to sustain the justice that we are trying to live out in the world. Joy is a need that we have, and all it calls for is our attention. It calls for us to live as if the world, the just world for all that we have been fighting for, that our faith tradition has been fighting for generations, to live as if it was already here, and to expand the circle of more people to experience joy with us. Our culture is so fast. I remember pulling my toddler through the subway because there was always somewhere important to go, and I know that there was beautiful music that I missed. Ignoring my body, ignoring this little child next to me because I needed to get her to a doctor's appointment or to shop at the store. It's all very important. And so was the music that was being played in the subway. When we pay attention to our bodies and our families to move towards joy, move towards sensations and sounds and feelings of joy, it is a practice of returning, a practice of remembering and noticing. And practice, we fail, we fall short. Practice doesn't mean perfection. We have to be patient and gentle with ourselves. And joy emerges from that, from being aware, from noticing, pausing, thinking about the times when I've fallen short, and trying to go deeper. We started a practice in our family of emergency dance parties. In the story we saw when the child, when he told his mother, that was the musician, that was the one, that was what I heard, and she cranked up the dial, and they danced around the apartment, dancing around to be awake, dancing around to connect with the music, forgetting for a moment that we are in a storm in our world, a storm of militarization, a storm of an incarceration state that is frightening. But we are all looking for a different way of being. Those around us are looking for a new way of relating and understanding, a way that our faith tradition as Unitarian Universalists lays out before us, of collaborating on this interdependent work, of remembering that we are all connected, building a greater movement towards our shared collective liberation. And as we're building and working and striving, joy nourishes our hungry spirits. We can move at the speed of children and look at what they need, look at what they are finding that is shiny, and paying attention to those distractions, not as something that is reeling us off our path, but is giving us a key to a new source of nourishment and joy. Honoring children's voices gives us more practice in honoring other people's voices, allowing other people to take up space in our community and to be vulnerable about sharing their vision for our future together. These are all things we all know already to be true, and we also know how hard it is to pause. But I encourage you to think about joy as an act of social change. Imagine joy as a foundation for everything else that we hope to create. And when we find situations that are challenging, if we can stop and breathe, and find something to make fun of ourselves, find something to poke fun at the challenging part of the situation, and allow our hope that we hold for our world to grow into a gift that we have to give out because we care so deeply. Joy is a commitment. It takes time, and it can be confusing and silly and playful, and sometimes it can be awkward. This is a cost of birthing a new change. I want us to not allow ourselves to get drained, to do our justice work with fun, and make a choice that to make that primary relationship with ourselves, with that which is greater than ourselves, to be a source of nourishment and transformative love. This transformative love that comes from music and playfulness and joy, it uplifts our awareness and kindles in us a flame of self-giving. I've found that when I'm talking about love, it's this big, obtuse, really intangible thing. But we are seeking something that is really, we can put our hands on. Something that knits us together, knits our religious community together, and then the love that is generated from being in real live community, sharing our joys and sorrows, this is the love that ripples out beyond these walls. So let us awaken to this. We have sources of sacred texts, and we have the sacred texts of our lives. Let us give our attention to joy. Let us keep our vow with the web of creation, giving and receiving as love shows us how. May we find the things that make the hairs on the back of our neck tickle. May we pause and savor the music, listen to and invite others into the experience of beauty. Pay attention to where you find joy and cling to it. Carry it with you and be ready to share it with others. This community will not begrudge you that reminder of what feels like just your own strength. It is our shared strength. Our hearts carry around both grief and celebration, and there is joy to be found in sharing all of it. May we go forth clinging to that joy, and may it sustain us. Amen.